In a world where 36% of children are born without fathers and half of marriages end in divorce, here's one father who cares about the future of the next generation. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to Generations, friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado. Also a pastor, but the reason I broadcast from my basement out here in Elbert County, Colorado, I'm a father of five. And one of the values that I really believe in, and I think this encapsulates what we're all about, is home discipleship. Now, I'm certainly into discipleship because that's what Jesus is all about. If you take a look at the Great Commission, he wants us discipling the nations, which includes families everywhere. But the discipleship I'm talking about is the discipleship that comes in seed form, the discipleship that really ought to happen in the home. And one of the people out there that's really encapsulated this idea himself and captured the concept of home discipleship is Henry Ranga. And he's with me in studio today. Henry, welcome to Generations.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I have enjoyed your ministry in this country and your passion to practice home discipleship. Last night when we were at your house here sleeping overnight, I enjoyed your family. We practiced that discipleship. I saw your family memorization, and it wasn't just a show. It was, this is what your kids are doing. This is what you're doing. This is how you're leading your home. So it's a pleasure to be here today and a pleasure to be at your home.
What you saw, Henry, is the core of our homeschooling experience. I mean, this is what we do. It was about an hour long, and we cracked the Word of God and read God's Word, and we memorized God's Word together as a family. We sing psalms and hymns and just have a great time. It took about an hour, didn't it?
It did. And what I like, too, is that it didn't seem like an hour, and it was fun, enjoyable. You could tell that the children were into it. And you could also tell, and this is what I really liked, is I saw your sincerity as a leader.
Well, thank you, Henry. Thank you. I think the vision is a vision for discipleship. And this is, of course, what Jesus was all about. You remember, right away, he chose 12 disciples, the Bible says, to be with him. They were right there with him all the time. And this is the form of education God wants us engaged in, is this kind of discipleship. Yet it's so important, Henry, that it happens within the home, isn't it?
In fact, I would say if it doesn't happen in the home, no matter how many programs that we construct in the church, no matter how much money we spend, no matter how much opportunities that we create, the message, the walk with God is not going to be thoroughly given, transferred, reproduced into the next generation if it first does not start in our own home.
And you use an important word there, Henry, reproducible. And, you know, I have upstairs on the kitchen table there a basket full of pine cones. Okay. Now, that symbolizes something for the Swanson family.
That you live in a forest.
I live in a forest.
Okay.
And I live in the middle of pine trees. And it is amazing to me how many pine cones come off of any single pine tree. I mean, we're talking probably hundreds.
Yeah.
Now, what does that say about God who created the pine tree? Because the pine cone symbolizes reproduction. See, God cannot imagine a pine tree out there. He doesn't want a pine tree out there that doesn't have the potential to reproduce. God loves reproduction.
Exactly. And a lot of times we stand in the way of that. What we do is instead of allowing that reproduction to occur in our home, we will somehow take that seed and don't put it in the soil. Take the seed, the Word of God, and don't actually plant it with our children. Take the seed and don't water it. And instead of watering, we put oil on it by watching like too much TV. Here's a seed, and we have the patterns of our home around things that aren't really reproducing the faith.
Now, Henry, you are a father of five, is that right?
That's five. One boy, four girls.
One boy, four girls, just like us. I didn't realize that. Yeah, okay, so you've got the oldest boy, the four girls, just like we do.
Yeah.
We got Daniel, he's 16, and then four girls after him.
Yeah, we were forming the oldest boy, four girls support group.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking to your wife about that.
We need to be a part of that support group, definitely. But your boy is older. I think he's 24, is that correct?
He's 22.
22, my mistake. He's 22, and then you have four girls.
Yes.
And you're also a pastor.
Yes.
And you have written a book called The Spontaneous Spread of Home Discipleship Christianity, which is an exciting book. And I want to talk about this book in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, Henry Ruenga and The Spontaneous Spread of Home Discipleship Christianity on Generation. Stay with me.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned, and they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHECK also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHECK, visit their website at chec.org.
Worldview Radio at its best. This is Generations.
And we're back on Generations today, talking to Henry Ruenga about The Spontaneous Spread of Home Discipleship Christianity. That's his latest book. And folks, we're talking about a form of Christianity that reproduces itself. And Henry, as you look at God's Word, you find that God wants these plants that are plants that are rooted in faith to grow up and bear fruit, some 40-fold, some 80-fold, some 100-fold. God wants, just like he has corn plants bringing forth, you know, one corn seed that brings forth, what, you know, 10,000 corn seeds and much fruit for those that enjoy the fruit of the earth. God wants us producing fruit. He doesn't want us all dried up. He wants us producing fruit. And I think every Christian needs to understand that we have got to be reproducing ourselves in terms of our faith.
That's a very good point. And when you think about reproducing, the question comes, reproduce what? And essentially what we want to reproduce is a relationship with God Almighty in His Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want this to be reproducing in an age that's very secular, in an age where if by default you leave your life to go as it goes, by default, it will not reproduce Christianity. It will reproduce a very secular, godless form of spirituality against the God of the Bible.
You know, Henry, I did a calculation one time that if the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ did not do any huge revival services where they're preaching to 50,000 people, I mean, they might do a little of that, but if they just, for the most part, ignored the large crowds and the huge revivals, but really focused on discipling 12 more, okay? That's all they did is disciple 12 more, okay? Each one gets to disciple 12 more, and those disciples will all disciple 12 more. So if that sort of thing happened over the period of, let's say it took them 10 years, and it took them a little longer than Jesus did. Jesus took 3 years, but they took 10 years to do discipleship, and each of those discipled 12 more, and so forth, within 100 years, meaning between AD 30 and AD 130, by AD 130, there would be approximately 400 million disciples of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just talking about 100 years, okay?
Yeah.
They just took this little pattern that he gave them and just went with it.
You can think about that within a family.
Yeah.
Okay, even if you don't evangelize anybody in your neighborhood. Okay, now, you know, let's just say that scenario.
Yeah, let's just say you just hold it down to your own family.
And let's just say, unlike the typical homeschool family, you have two children.
Yeah.
We did the math on this.
Yeah.
Just two. In 400 years, it'd be a million descendants. Just two.
Yeah, with just two.
So if you were to plant the seed of the Word of God, water it, nourish it, and see your children own their walk with God and reproduce it, that'd be a tremendous impact in our world before Christ comes again.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. And I think we lack the passion, maybe. Isn't that maybe the first thing, or the vision to do it? We just need to get somebody out there saying, you know what, guys, this is a really good thing if we can get families to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and spend that time in home discipleship.
over the years, you're going to see tremendous fruit. Now, I speak from personal experience. My parents raised six of us, and they did home discipleship on that island out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean when they raised us there. Every morning, I remember, from 7:20 to 8 o'clock a.m., every morning, my dad was ruthlessly scheduled with this thing. He had family worship, and we sang the Psalms, we memorized the verses, we read the Word of God, and tremendous things happen. And today, all yeah. six children serving God in some capacity today, and all of them, well, not all of them, those that are married are raising children to the glory of God and for the advancement of His kingdom. But I'm hoping that that sort of vision will spread. And are you seeing this spreading as you get your book around, as you minister to others and share that vision?
Oh, I certainly am. My own experience is my dad and mom, my dad was a mechanic. My mother was a factory worker who practiced home discipleship. They had four children. We opened the Word on a daily basis. We prayed. My dad played an accordion. I have such wonderful memories of that. I played saxophone, and we'd play together and sing the hymns and on a very regular basis. My dad and mom are still with us, and they live with us now.
Wow, that's great.
And when I see in the house, when it's quiet at night, my dad will get his accordion out, and he will sing at the top of his lungs. And sometimes I'm upstairs as I'm hearing him sing in the suite by and by, and I'm in tears. But what I'm in tears about is the legacy. It's about living it. It's about passing it on to me. And that's what partly which fires up me to pass it on to my own children. Now, in the book, Spontaneous Spread of Christianity, what this book is about is trying to help a family to be self-aware of their home discipleship practices as they currently are, in comparison to everything else out there. And then look at their life in a self-aware way and get a plan for how, hey, 15 minutes a day is better than nothing a day. Doing one verse of memorization three times a week is better than doing nothing. Reading the Bible four times a week as a family is better than nothing. You know, and a lot of times what we have today is we have kind of a programmatic Christianity where people have kind of their spiritual connection mediated by what they experience on Sunday at church. How much better if it would be that families walked with the Lord on a daily basis, led by the father and mother, and then church supported that. So if the family won, the church would win even more.
All right. Now, Henry, let's talk about how you get the spontaneous spread of Christianity. How does this thing reproduce and reproduce and reproduce? How do we begin to see the growth of the seed into acres and acres and acres of fruit? How does that happen?
It begins by, first of all, each person look at themselves personally. Do I have a walk with God? We'll call that connection one. Now, what is a walk with God, if you really define it real briefly? And I have to thank Reverend Steve Elzinger. He really did the analysis with stuff like this back in the mid-90s. A walk with God is basically talking, listening, repeatedly. Talking is prayer. Listening is the Bible piece. And repeatedly are those habits. Now, in a walk with God, there's part of our walk is very familiar. That is, we're just living our life, and all of a sudden I'm driving along, and I'm praying. I say, I just think a prayer. It's very familiar. You know, I sense the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm tempted. My conscience kicks in with God's presence there to steer me in a certain direction. Now, in America today, that familiar walk is out there. And for many Christians, their familiar walk has been built by generations of Christianity. They're going to church. It's like almost a composite walk. Now, the problem with familiar walks, they can drift. Now, an example of that was in the seven churches in Revelations, where here they had these churches. In some of the churches, obviously, their familiar walk had drifted away from the Word. But that can happen today. So how do you keep our familiar walk Bible-centered, Word-directed? And that is through God's Word. God's Word, it says, it does not return void. So this Word is to be opened in our home on a daily basis. Now, let's talk about personal. As a person before God, I need to have a talking, listening relationship with God personally. So opening up the Bible, praying. But I'm going to move on even further because many of us are married. If we're married, that means that if we're a Christian marriage, how about having a talking, listening, walk with God as a married couple. Going to bed together at the same time, opening a psalm, reflecting on it a little bit, praying together. You know, 100 years ago when they had marriage manuals, and you see some of them, they would even talk about prescriptions to be married, and they would even talk in very flowery language, and they would say things like, when you retire unto thy bed, that thou would open the holy word. You know, just very simple stuff like that, because this is a holy bond where God is there. See, so, and that's like that connection two. And then there's connection three, which we often call family discipleship, where, you know, a family gets together. What we experienced in your home last night was an example of family discipleship, where the word is open, you sing some songs, you do memory work. You know, memory work is not really that difficult to do if you just have a very simple technique. And you do that, and it's something very enjoyable.
You know, you taught us a technique in terms of memorizing Scripture that has been very helpful to us. Why don't you describe it to our listening audience? We've been using it for the last 2 years since you ran this by me several years ago, and it's been working really well. We have learned so many psalms together as a family. We've recited them in front of our church congregation during our fellowship times on Sundays occasionally, and it's been a wonderful experience. We've learned Psalm 1, Psalm 8, Psalm 19, Psalm 24, Psalm 51, Isaiah 53. Now we're working on Romans 8. So huge chapters. I mean, we have everybody saying this too, from Dad, who's 43 years old, all the way down to Abigail, who's 7. We stand up in front of the church and recite these whole chapters together. And it's great. It's wonderful to learn these verses together as a family.
Mm-hmm. It's very simple. Is you pick a passage, and let's say it's Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. That's verse 1. So, you know, I'll say that 3 times. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. And then everybody says it with me. Okay. Keep me safe, O God, all for right. In you I take refuge. Can you say that right now?
Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. Did I get it?
You got it.
Okay.
See, now the next day, you review what you did the day before.
Okay.
And then you do that same
thing.
But pattern.
Everybody's got to say it around around the corner, right?
A very good point. That's a little distinctive of the Runge method.
Yes.
Is that after you say it 3 times, then it goes down the list. You know, Pam, Brianna, Abigail, Anne, Christina, and everybody says it. Because right. we have found years ago that if they don't say it, there's some autopilotness that occurs, and then one or two of them, you know, misses verses.
Right, right. And if they know it's coming around, they're sort of on their game. You know, you can't be embarrassed in front of everybody. So everybody gets a shot at saying
this.
Right. And then once again, you say it together again at the end.
At the end. And then the next day, we just go the next. It takes 2 to 3 minutes a day when you first start out, and if you're in a long chapter, well, then it's going to take 5 or 6 minutes. But it's a blessing, and it's not only that. I had a personal experience with this. We were doing this pattern, and we had just memorized Psalm 27. And the Lord is my light and my salvation.
Whom shall I fear?
Who shall I fear?
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Okay, when evil men are
yeah.
Guess what? That we had just finished that, and I was on a trip to New York, Manhattan, New York, September 11th, 2001. And where was I that day? I was in Manhattan, New York. I saw the city come apart.
So you were there.
I was there.
On 9/11.
9/11. And that day, the Lord used me again and again and again. It was like people were taking a number to see a pastor because things were falling apart. And one passage after another that we had memorized in our own home, I was reciting to people. It was like in the passages came to my mind and were ministry to people. So, and that's my son has given testimony now several times at seminary while he's finishing he's in his last year of his degree, how these Bible passages that we've been doing now for many years have come back and have been a huge tool in his ministry for Christ and his learning.
Now, this is something, Henry, that you encourage in your congregation as well.
Yes,
you're a
we
pastor
do.
In mm-hmm. a church near Chicago, Illinois.
Yep, Family of Faith Church, Moni, Illinois.
Family of Faith Church. And part of being a part of this church is you expect your families to be engaging in home discipleship.
That's
this
right.
is part of what you do there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we were talking before about seven connections. One is personal, two is marriage, three family. But if you think of four, like-minded friends, and you think of five, let's say we'll call it the connection church. If you talk about these church and fellowship connections, what we try to do at our church is create an environment that supports home discipleship. I'll give you an example. We have a Bible reading plan that everybody reads in their home, in their home discipleship, and the Sermon Sunday are going to relate to what people read in their homes. We expect families to do family memorization. So what happens, we have a once-a-month hymn sing. And in these hymn sings, families have the opportunity to recite what they've memorized in their home. And those are incredible, precious moments many times where you'll get a father for the first time in his life. He's leading his home. He's leading his home. And then there's this moment when they're reciting a passage and one of the children look up and they see their dad engage with them in a spiritual leadership way. And that little girl or that little boy looks up, and there is something in their eyes, and this is what's in their eyes. That's my dad. And it creates an environment where discipleship is winsome, and there's support. So a church environment is very important. And even, you know, later on, it includes things like courtship. You know, we've been so blessed with so many couples finding each other, but like-minded couples in the Lord.
Mm. And hopefully planting more families and more churches. I mean, you've seen this thing work. And
yes.
Not just in your church with 200-300 folks, but you're seeing it in some other 14 churches
yes.
that you've planted
yes.
and hundreds of others that have been in contact with
yes.
you. This is spreading. This
yes.
home discipleship Christianity is spreading.
Yes, it is.
What's going to happen the next couple of decades here? Are we going to see a growth of the kingdom of God here?
I believe that, and I believe it's going to be indigenous growth. A lot of the church growth movement today, what I would call it, is positional growth. It's like it positions the message near Hollywood. Okay, let's say here's Hollywood, and then the sermon series is near what, you know, some movie is about or something. So you position the message of Christianity, what they call it, at the border. In a home discipleship church, a home discipleship culture, the message is indigenous. Here's the word of God. The message, the walk, comes out of the Word of God, and it's reproduced as the Word of God is the central feature. It's not, positioning programs to be just close to the world, but with a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you said the sinner's prayer, or if in time of need you need a spiritual pick-me-up, you know, we can be practical. It's not 10 messages on how to do your money better. I mean, again, that's in the Bible. We want people to be stewards and all that. But we want that message to come from the Bible, lived in the personal, the marriage, the family, supported in the church, so that we're not just planting a church. We're planting a culture.
Yeah. And it reaches into human relationships. And these
yeah.
relationships form as deep-seated relationships, and in the process, you add truth to that, you add the Word of God to it, and voila, you've got discipleship.
You do. It is a discipleship that's reproducible. You know, I would, you know, like to let anyone have the opportunity to get a free book. These books are free on the net at homediscipleship.org.
Well, there it is, folks. If you want a free book, The Spontaneous Spread of Home Discipleship Christianity, just go to homediscipleship.org on the web for your copy today. Again, that's homediscipleship.org for your free copy of The Spontaneous Spread of Home Discipleship Christianity. Henry, we're clean out of time, but thank you so much for joining us today on Generations.
You're welcome. And Kevin, I just want to encourage you. This program is excellent. People in our fellowship churches listen to Generations and are blessed. Thank you.
And folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And again, for that free book, folks, it's homediscipleship.org on the web. And you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.